Blog Talk Radio.
Mental picture and you say, okay,
they said that the emails were hacked for Hillary Clinton and the DNC, right? Then they came back and said President Obama was wiretapping, poor technology, wiretapping Donald Trump prior to him even becoming president. So then we come back and say, oh, the FBI was doing XYZ. They were changing stuff, and now we got dead people voting. You got all this stuff. It all boils down to technology, and this is why it's important for this show to happen. Because for all of you out there who are not paying attention and do not realize how much this is impacting your lives, voila, it is impacting your life. It is not only impacting your life to the degree where there are people out protesting in mass droves because I can't prove that this is my president because he didn't win the popular vote, or I love my president so much because he's going to come and get rid of Obamacare. And Obamacare happens to be an electronic database that was formulated with all your information on it that allowed you to have health care, but it's a data platform. Big data. Big, huge government contract given to a small corporation. They screwed it up for $3 billion. It was handed over to Accenture. That was a technology contract with the government. Now, I'm talking to y'all. I'm dropping science. You ain't paying attention. It's okay. You can catch up later. Look, we're going to move into the space now where we're going to bring you into the light. I am having on a guest who will actually walk you into a space and let you breathe around in the room and look both ways and say, oh, I see the light. He's an educator. He is a longtime technology learner. He is trained, educated at a fabulous college, and he is self-learned, self-trained as well. He has a story I'll tell you about when he comes on. But if you see anything happening in the news, I want you to call in. Your number today to call in is the same number we've been using for years, but 347-633-9769 is your number to dial in right now. Dial in right now and tell me what you know about what's happening with technology. I want to hear from you. What are you paying attention to? What's on the forefront of your news and radar? Because I drop all sorts of stuff, and I want to give you some feedback. I get feedback from people, and I've heard from people all sorts of stuff. I'm talking to Adolphus Johnson today. Adolphus Johnson, who is going to be our guest when we come back from the commercial break. But Adolphus is going to drop crazy science on us because he is going to tell us about his tech journey as an entrepreneur or techpreneur and the things that happened to him. But he's also going to walk us into the space of what is going on in his learning space as a Cisco certified trainer. How can you get in this space, and how can he teach you? How can he train you? You know, something that will help you graduate into your tomorrow. We want to get people prepared for the technology-driven future, of course. But in the meanwhile, I want you to pay attention to what's happening on the news. Pay attention to what's happening everywhere but in America. Like, why is it that everywhere in the world has this hyper-focus and hyper-drive on technology? I mean, the Mobile World Conference was this week. Not here, overseas. Mobile World Conference is where all the cell phones go get dropped and people tell you what's going to happen in mobile history. Or, you know, well, we hear about Samsung coming out with these folding phones, right? They were supposed to bring out transparent technology, but we also hear that maybe the thing with the iPhone 8. We never know. But technology with cell phones is not all there is in technology. For all of you out there who are not waking up, who are not seeing the light, who are not telling your children right now, I don't care what you go major in, pick up something with technology associated with it. When I tell you that somebody told me this when I was in college and I looked at him like he was crazy because girls didn't do that thing. It wasn't a girl thing to do, get in tech space. It wasn't a cute thing to do, be a nerd. I was nerdy, and I've been nerdy my entire life. My mother used to tell me that when I was a kid. You're the biggest nerd I know. I am. Big shout out to DeGratier Daniels, who we have to bring back on, who hooked me up with some more information about quantum physics, quantum mechanics, and oh my gosh, he took me from string theory to M theory. Y'all ain't even ready for me. I got to do a whole show on that. I can't even explain it. I could. String theory is a theory that says within one universe, there are multitudes of hundreds of thousands of other universes. So a universe could be the size of an atom. An atom is microscopic. And so, of course, all these things are floating around us, and we don't even know it's there. Why? Because we only use 10% of our brain. We don't see like that, but it's there. Whew. Illuminati? No, I'm joking. But anyway, so now you see a lot of people in television talking about all these quantum jumps, quantum mechanics, parallel universes, here's and there's. I mean, it was even on Once Upon a Time. They're talking about quantum universes, different parallel dimensions. But that's not a new concept. I could do a whole show on that. I was actually supposed to do preparing for the fifth dimension. That was supposed to be one of our episodes. I don't know what happened to that episode. Oh, yeah, we didn't actually come back. So we will come back and do that later on this year, probably around the time when I decide to actually release the book. Now, next month, just so I can get, you know, get you prepared, I hate being single. I absolutely friggin' hate it. So I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to come up with a series of events. Mm-hmm. And so now there are noises around us. The ambulance is going by. So anyway, I am going to come up with a series of events, and I am going to bring everybody into the space with me where I am going to talk technology unfiltered. I'm talking about dropping some letters and some words that people are not used to hearing me say on air, because I just think it's kind of time for me just to get in the adult space with everybody and say, you know what, let's talk real talk like we would talk if we were sitting at the table. Like if we were talking, we would talk if we were sitting at Taco Mac, you know, at the bar. You know, let's talk about technology. So women out there, be prepared for me, because I told you I was coming for you. 1,000 Women for Technology is the goal this year. We are working on something that is coming to real life, real fruition, real fruition. It's going to manifest. Lastly, before I go to commercial break and bring on Adolphus Johnson, I gotta say this. We are preparing a future workforce, and we are preparing them without the skills to be competitive. So I, along with Steve Brown from DigiLife, and a few of my cohorts got together, and we decided to create a cabal. And this cabal is to take on a group of young people called the PR Crew through DigiLife Magazine. That's digilife.co. We created a meetup group. If you go to meetup.com, that's meetup.com/DigiLife, that's DigiLyfe, you will find the meetup group that is now going to bring a collective group of interns from around the country together to work on projects for your business. That's right. It's something that can help you. It's something that can help me. It's something that can help them. They can get hands-on experience. We can do a trade-off with them, and they make money. So we have a great little plan for how we're going to work this out and how it's going to start working. Actually, I'm going to be meeting with some of them tomorrow, or Thursday, I'm sorry. Thursday is going to be fantastic. We want to help you grow your businesses, but we also want to help them grow into a space where they're prepared for the workforce. Not just that they have an education, but they have experience, because we all know everybody's getting an education now. You know, I had somebody I spoke to, and I think it was Adolphus's partner, was talking to me about certifications and how these certifications are so much more less expensive than going to college. He was blown away. He's like, so wait, you can go get a certification for this much and these kids are over here paying like $33,000 per semester? Yes, that is an absolute truth. After this commercial break, we're going to bring on Adolphus Johnson, who's been on here before, talking about robotics with his daughters and his youth groups. But we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about training America for a technology-driven future. As a tech entrepreneur, what he is doing effectively to make change, and how you can get involved with what he's doing or you can get training too. We'll be back after this commercial break, and he will be on with us. I'm Cairo Queen. See you in a sec.
Are you planning a holiday event or wedding? Are you tired of planning alone? Well, let K-Unique Events help. With over 10 years of experience, K-Unique can get the job done. Give K-Unique a call at 978-609-8977 or visit them at kunique-events.com. That's KUNIK-events.com. K-Unique, where your event will be made just for you. No two are the same.
Hi, ladies and gents. This is Cairo Queen from Cairo Queen's Taste of Technology with co-host Juarez Jackson. We're on every single Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen, if you want to tune in to us, you want to call us, you want to be a sponsor, reach out to me. You can email me at cairoqueen@gmail.com. That's cairoqueen@gmail.com. Yes, I know. Okay, well, maybe, you know, you may not want to just be on air. You may want to be a sponsor, and you may want to have your own segment in the show. That's a possibility. All you got to do is become a sponsor, and you can join a part of our show. You can even have a commercial done for you. Now, all you have to do to make that happen is contact me directly at 707-500-0198. That number again is 707-500-0198. And it's Cairo Queen. Cairo like Egypt, Queen like Elizabeth. Contact me. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And see you on Tuesday. Bye now.
When I tell you before the show started, I was literally almost in tears talking to Robin because I was thinking we have come to a place now where I think our project has become full circle, where we set out to, you know, just tell people about this technology thing that was moving and happening, and it's become so much more. It's become a movement. It's become a work-life effort. There have been people who have been reaching out to me, and I mean, just, I'm not going to cry while on air, but I have just been moved by the amount of people who we've been able to touch, people coming out of nowhere and saying, you know what, I didn't even know that a woman who was African-American could just even jump into this space. I thought I had to have all these degrees and certifications. And when I sit here and I say, no, you don't. No, you don't. And if it was not for Robin Howard's foresight in seeing that this was something that meant something to somebody else other than just me, that it meant something to people and that people could be impacted by this, I would not be here doing this. So every time we do this show, I'm going to tell Robin thank you. And I never want to forget that, because every day, Robin Howard is the reason why we sit here on Tuesday night, and without her, it's not possible. So saying that, if you would like to be a sponsor, please, oh my God, reach out, because we're looking to expand out to some whole other spaces within not only this show platform, but online web development. Oh my goodness, there's so much we're getting ready to do, and it's just going to be bananas. We got to go take the world over now. It's time to make a change. We're the people that have to get together to raise up the generation and to fix this one, because obviously the government ain't paying attention to us. So, that being said, I'd like to bring on our guest. Our guest, who is all the way out in Philadelphia. This is Mr. Adolphus Johnson. Adolphus Johnson is a certified Cisco trainer. He has a full-blown initiative out there moving in a place where technology is really booming in Philadelphia. And it's, you know, a new known fact. And as many people want to believe that Atlanta is like the boom, Atlanta is a great place for tech skill. So the people who are in school here, they're doing great because they're coming out of Georgia Tech. They're coming out of Georgia State. they are out there going into the workforce and they are great skills. Now, when it comes to creating technology initiatives, tech entrepreneurs, business initiatives, stuff that's actually booming, I believe we've been surpassed by Philadelphia. So, and that actually is a fact if you go look it up. if you want to bring on now Adolphus Johnson, Adolphus said to me earlier, and this was something that I think is very poignant for every woman that is out there. I keep asking the question, what is it that you are not getting from technology that brings you into this space? And we just have come up with the solution for it. Adolphus says, you know what? We got to educate people. We have to educate people. So, Adolphus, with that being said, I'd like you to come in and introduce yourself to the listening audience, wherever they are in the world, if they're listening now or in a replay.
Good evening. My name is Adolphus Johnson, Cisco Academy instructor, certified. Been in the IT field for over 15 years. Graduated from Morris Brown College in Atlanta, Georgia. Cisco is a billion-dollar company, and they're looking for females and minorities to be involved in all the urban cities around the country. So there's training places taking, you know, there's a lot of places in this different areas that are looking for certified people that, or want to certify them and get them trained to be Cisco Academies and get a good presence in the urban area, because there's nobody existing, especially females. And we need females in the field. We love, if you saw the movie Hidden Figures, you see that we do exist in the IT field, even that far back. So, therefore, you know, it's a great thing for us to do. Trying to work with the youth. The youth is not too savvy on the technology. So, you say everybody has a, you know, take it for example, everybody has a cell phone. But everybody doesn't know completely how the cell phone works. They know that they have Twitter, Facebook, they can text, but they don't know what the capacity of the phone is. They don't know how to wipe the phone. So when you go to take your phone over to like Sprint, T-Mobile, those are the name of few. You take it to them and you say, look, our phone's broke. Most of the time, the T-Mobile and the Verizon people and AT&T, they don't even know how to fix the phones. And they put you to tier 3, tier 2, and no one knows. Like, take example, say you have a phone, sound like it's underwater. And the phone will either sound like it's underwater or can't connect to the computer when you plug the USB cord in or can't take pictures. 10 times out of 1, that phone needs to be wiped. It's got to be factory reset so that you can get the phone back. First thing they want to do is take the phone back and buy a brand new phone. If you do a factory reset, you can get the phone back and without spending another $500 to $600, you can fix your phone and fix it yourself. But that's stuff that we don't know how to do because nobody ever showed it. Nobody ever demonstrated it and said, look, let me show you how a phone works. Let me show you about a computer or a laptop. And
essentially, Adolphus, you're talking about getting people into a space that not only could they use it to make money, but it would actually end up saving them money in the long run, right?
Correct. There's a lot of money that's made in IT. Like, take Cisco, for instance. Cisco's a billion-dollar company. Cisco teaches A+, and they joined hands with CompTIA. And we have an A+ course that we teach you how to repair laptops, desktops, tablets, cell phones, learn how to configure and set up Xboxes, PlayStations. And my program is a little different because what I do, I show all the students how to configure the Xbox and PlayStation. Even though that's not in the curriculum, I do that because if you live in a large city and you have a children's hospital, the children always are given Xboxes and PlayStations because they are very terminally ill, they're in the hospital and they want to make it fun for them. So so if you're an IT person and you want to work in the space of healthcare and you want to be in a hospital facility, you need to know how to set up all these different type of components. With Cisco, I also show you how to start your own business. But that's a good thing. You know, as each day go on, I show you how much stuff we learn and how much money you can actually obtain. And I also require all students to get some clientele. And then they'll start making money as they're in class. They'll start making money doing computer repairs. Start out with your family. Start out with your fraternity, sorority, or whatever organization you belong to, church. And you let people know that you're doing IT, and you start to get people accustomed that you're in that space. And in the meanwhile, we learn everything we can learn about technology, how to set up a home network, how to set up routers, switches, how to set up cell phones, tablets. And that's just the breaking point of just the A+. That's not even going into all the other courses that we offer. We offer CCNA, which is a certified Cisco. You become a network associate, and you learn how to set up routers, switches. You learn how to configure them. You learn how to do hardcore language. So, you know, and that's another class. But the A+, go back to the A+ for a second. The A+ is a 70-hour course, and you learn a 70-hour course with learning with a live lab, and we have actual computers you take apart and repair. And a lot of places you don't get that. You don't get that opportunity to take a computer completely apart and put it back together. We take laptops apart, tablets, desktops. Only thing we don't really take apart is monitors, because monitors are so cheap, they're not worth taking them apart. So you would just take them and send them back. But as you go through the program, we do a lot of reading. And always a lot of reading. Like, I require you to do a lot of to stay on top of what's going on with our current events in IT. Like, there's a lot of things that's going over in Japan and Asia. They're so far ahead of us that they have actual robots running around, and they have robots tall as buildings compared to what we have here. We don't hardly see anything because they don't really show us anything. But over there, they have robots. If you remember, President Obama was playing with that robot to play soccer with. That's a very tad bit of what they have. So.
Wait. So let's pause right there, and let's ask this question. Everybody who listens to the show, if you've been a listener, you know that I'm a big fan of robots, right? Adolphus, you could teach us, or me, you could teach us how to build a robot, right?
Correct.
And now let's say if I had an idea for a product, can you help me get that product to a place where I have a demo of it?
With all the people and the resources we have, of course we can. But the fun part is actually just putting the little robots together. You know what the basic one is? Everybody started out just building like a real simple robot, but you don't really build them. It's a Sparky robot. Then there's a Lego robot, and there's different variety of Lego robots, and that's where you start all your basic stuff from, is just playing around with the Lego robots and putting them together. Then you end up, you know, joining the big competitions, because the Lego robots are very sophisticated robots, and they do a lot.
Okay, Dolphins, I'm going to give you a challenge. In 2018, I would like to get started on my prototype for my robot. I have a robot product that I want to actually have launched, and I've been wanting to do this for years, ever since I went back to electronics engineering school and tried to start. What's that noise? When you get back, that was like a media faux pas. You're not supposed to do that. What's that noise? But when we get into the space of learning with technology, you know, learning how to build, how to deconstruct, you know, this is something where we're looking at manufacturing jobs coming back to America at this point, allegedly. But this is a conversation we need to be having. we actually have people to teach us how to build and deconstruct. So in the space of doing this, we want to take people from a level of not understanding into understanding. And I'm going to go to the fact that you have two daughters who you taught both of them how to code. And I'm speaking to women now, you know, women who are saying they didn't realize they could get in this space. What made technology attractive to your children, to your girls? Because this is something where not just little girls, ladies who are my age and older can actually jump back into technology going straight to what we're talking about here, right?
Correct. What made them interested was they always watched me play around with the different technology. With my 9-year-old, I always let her play with the computer ever since she's been 2. And just banging on a keyboard and then playing around with the Legos. The Legos is a real stimuli. People don't really realize that the Legos actually teach you engineering and how to construct different prototypes and different builds of different things. So it helped them with that. And then they just kept on wanting to learn. And we moved on from the Legos. And then we moved on to higher-end Legos. Then we started playing around with coding. And what made me want to do is because everybody always leave out the younger kids, the younger children, and they always focus it on the 14, 15, 16-year-olds.
Right.
Where you have the youth in the urban area, and they don't have any, you know, who can afford to go to the major universities in Philadelphia when they have these boot camps, and the boot camps cost $1,000 to $1,500 a week to learn coding, and they get the same exact thing that we're offering at a lower rate, but it's a smaller group, a lower rate, and it's a different venue. So, you know, there's a lot of growth, and, you know, and then after that, some people get the idea, you know, I want to build a robot. Before that, it was just the laptops and desktops, but now you have the robots, you have the drones. You have all kinds of different little, you have these little new robots that ride around. They're called drone robots. And they roll around on the ground. And you can control it with your phone. You can do block coding with them. You know, and that just, you know, they morally motivated me to want to reach out to the youth. Because I was like, well, I'll keep trying to reach out to them. And everybody's afraid. And Cara Queen and I spoke about it. And she kept saying, you know what, listen. Everybody's scared of technology. And I was like, are you really serious? So I went around to different organizations in Philadelphia, and I asked them about it. I said, would you like to have a program? And they were like, no, we have welding, and we have culinary arts, and we have plumbing. But I said, but what about technology? Everybody's scared of it. Nobody wants to spend the time and the money. But to be a security guard, if you're in a high-end area, you got to know how to use the security cameras. Because they're on remote, joysticks.
Same experience here. Went to some organizations that help people with jobs and job placement, and outright rejected the education of technology for urban dwellers. And I'm like, okay, so here's my thought on this, right? You look and you see people who are going to sign their kids up 6 months before they're even born, or sometimes before they're even conceived, to get into the right school, you know, before, I don't know what they call those schools when they're little tiny babies. Anyway, so I forget what they call them, but they put the kids in the schools before they're even born, before they even hatch, okay? They put them in the schools, get them registered, pay top dollar to get these kids in these schools because they want to have these great educations. So people in these urban communities who can't afford to go to those schools could also get their children, their bitty babies, into a space where they can learn a language that is something that could become simple to them at an early age if they get involved early enough. And if it's something that you push to them and you make them feel like it's important and show them why it's going to turn around and be a great thing for them to be invested in. And a lot of times it boils down to the parent not realizing why this is important. So when you look and I say, I have a child who can speak 3 different languages and they're 4 years old. You can teach children to do that. I've met children who can do that. They speak English, French, and Spanish, 4 years old. But then I'll meet babies here in the inner city who are 4 years old who can barely speak English. And I look and I think to myself, we have literally hurt our own children in this environment by not teaching them more. When the internet is there, YouTube is there, you have schools, I mean, YouTube is free, okay? You have schools out there. Like, and I say this, like, if I had a child in utero, I would be playing four different languages and coding to them in utero. So when they came out, they'd be speaking ones and zeros. Why? Because that is your future. That is the future. Every parent who is listening to me, if you are not getting your kid into a STEM program right now, you are doing your child a disservice. There are free programs out here. There are programs that cost a little bit of money, and then there are high-end expensive programs you can go pay an arm and a leg for if you want to. But I look and I'm like, you're out there hitting up churches, hitting up organizations, and these people are telling you no. I'm like, I've been saying this for years, technology ministry. 30,000 people in a building, and y'all don't do a technology ministry? Come on now.
That's true. That's very true. But there's a lot of programs out here.
Lots of programs. And then
there's a lot of programs.
But
you know what the issue is? There's a lot of programs, but there's not a lot of programs with the there's not a lot of programs that are in an urban area. So then a lot
right.
of people miss out. Like the urban area people, the students are missing out. In the urban area, they're missing like just simple things of just having a laptop. Everybody wants to have a tablet, but how can you do real work when you have a tablet but not a laptop or a desktop? So I mean, that's a whole nother issue. But you know,
talk about that because we need to get into that laptop v tablet conversation. Used versus new tablet conversation. We got like a whole 40 minutes or 30 minutes to do this in. So, or 20 minutes. 20 minutes to do this in. And let's
okay.
really like dig into that because that's a conversation. You know, a kid using a tablet is cute, but they're not learning the same thing. I'll let you say that. They're not learning the same thing, right?
Right. If you have a tablet, you're not, because one thing to keep in mind, if you have a tablet, then you try to bring the tablet up and you look at just looking at a screen versus how maybe one thing looks on the web on a tablet looks totally different than on a laptop. And it's pretty similar, but then you run into the issue, like suppose you want to print something. You can still print, but then you run into the position where you got to have a keyboard, then you got to download all the programs. And then if you have a laptop, you can run more programs. You can do a little bit more technology, innovative stuff. And on a laptop, they're trying to make it like, so say you want to do coding. So they put a block coding program on the tablet. But it's totally different when you have a keyboard, you have a laptop, and you're loading it. And the thing that, like I always tell everybody, when you teach a course for children to to learn coding, you want to teach them how to load the software, what kind of laptop they need to run it, and that's what we want to do. We don't want them to be able to not be able to, because as a urban or a youth in IT, or if you know you just want to know how to load the program, where to get the program from, how to download it, you know, and everybody want to get a tablet. And you'll find everybody with a tablet, but then they don't have any computers at home. So what do you do? I mean, I've seen people get rid of all their computers and now they have tablets. And then they complain that their technology is not there. Like, say, all right, prime example, say you have a project you want to do for class and you need some kind of word art, or you need some kind of publishing program. Well, you can get it on the tablet, but you're not going to get the same effect as you would having a computer. Like my daughter, she goes to a Catholic school. So they gave everybody iPads. At the end of the day, she still needs a laptop to do certain things because the iPad can't do everything. Even though she has a keyboard, and everything to be able to utilize what the iPad does. But it's not like having that good old laptop. And then you run into people who, but.
No, I was just gonna say you're right because when you look at and transitioning on web development, of course, from a website to a mobile site, and then looking at what a mobile site has the capability of featuring as opposed to what an actual computer version, the actual laptop version, has the ability of showing you, and then its ability to interact. So a lot of times there's a huge lag, and that's a slowdown of transition of fields, right, or frames, inside of your tablet that's not there on your laptop. So you'll have issues where, you know, you might be on a laptop version, and because you now have either a Samsung or an iPhone, your device is going to give you a different appearance based off of how that app is built. So the mobile website built as opposed to the website itself being built. So, and I guess the mobile website as opposed to a regular app, as opposed to a regular website, all in their cells become completely complicated with trying to utilize a tablet versus a laptop.
Right. And that's true. And then, like, a prime example, I remember everybody was getting away from buying a desktop. Then everybody said, oh, you know what, we're going to get the all-in-one printer, all-in-one computers. And they're great, but they forgot about one thing. Them all-in-one computers, they started to overheat. Then everybody wanted to get the touch screen. So everybody like, let's get the touch screen stuff. So they get the touch screen stuff, and it's fine and good, but on the real world, when you're out there working, trying to do computer work, sometimes you don't have the touch screen. So what do? See, it's like we get accustomed to, like they don't teach typing courses anymore. They don't teach handwriting anymore. But if you're going to be in IT, you got to know. You have to know how to type to some aspect. You got to know how to use a keyboard. Because suppose you get a job programming, or you want to do SharePoint, or you want to do, coding, or you want to do, say you're a Cisco administrator and you need to get into DOS or Linux, and you have to write commands. Excuse me. If you don't know how to type, then you can't do all the stuff. Like, you have to learn the language. You have to learn what everybody wants you to do. So that's one issue. Then everybody says, you know, everybody wants to buy a brand new computer. And you'll go to, so you have HP, you have Dell, and all the good people. And then you have the refurbished ones. If you ask me, I can get a brand new one, but I'd rather have a refurbished one. Why? Because I can tweak it. I know it's been tweaked. I know it has all the stuff, all the kinks worked out of it. I know that, you know, and everybody thinks because it's refurbished, all is broken, it may not work, it's slow, and that's not the case. And then refurbished ones are a little bit more affordable than brand new ones. Why go spend $800 when you can go spend $200 or $250 or even lower, as $150? And you can get a quality computer, a laptop, at $150, $200. Because you got to remember, people throw all these things, they get rid of it. Like some companies, they replace their new equipment every, I've seen companies replace their equipment every 6 months to a year. I mean, they get rid of everything, TVs, laptops. I've seen them throw away all kinds of hardware devices, hard drives, I mean, external drives that were $200 or $300. They just throw it in the trash, saying we don't need it no more. We moved up something new. And they'll put it in a recycle bin and it's called electronic recycling, and then somebody comes and pick it up, and then they take all that equipment and they resell it. So if you get a laptop that's refurbished, you can get a laptop refurbished with Microsoft Office. Might even have the Adobe products on it. And you have the new Windows 10, and it works fine. It may have sometimes I've seen a very clean one. And I've seen a couple with a couple of nicks and knocks on it. But if you go to the store and buy your brand new laptop, it comes with nothing on it. It comes with Windows 10, and then everything's a trial version.
But you can get the casing, right? You can get new casing for a laptop and just throw the motherboard in it, right?
Right. You can replace the whole entire case. You can replace the frame, everything. You can even get cases that go over top of it to cover up the little nicks and knocks in it. So that's a good thing.
So here's my thing. I want you to teach me how to build my own laptop, and I want to put purple neon lights in it.
Possible. You just call them modified cases. You can modify them.
I've seen people do that. Those like glow in the dark keyboards, and then I know that's a piece of it's a sticker, but they're like LED lights they put inside the computers, and the computer actually glows. So I'm gonna build that. Everybody, when he teaches me how, I'm gonna build that, and I'm going to show you guys I actually built that, because that is something I always wanted to do.
like you can build like music computers. And you put LED lights in it, and as the music pulses, the lights follow the beat. You can put hydraulics in it where you have like water. You can have. I've seen people actually cut the cases out and put their own design on them. I mean, they do all kinds of things. Put their own fans and everything. I mean, they just modify the cases. Now, that's people who really want to spend time cutting. But then you have you can buy the modified cases too, and I think if you build a computer, I would rather build my laptop or desktop, mainly a desktop. Laptop, you can buy it. If you need to rebuild it, you can. But the desktop, you can customize it, put all the stuff you want in there. If you go to the store, they're trying to sell you the best one they have, and it may not even do everything that you want if you customize it. And you might come out cheaper. Sometimes you come out more because, you're trying to have a gaming computer. So now you're going to spend money for all the parts.
Let me ask you this. How long does it take us to learn this stuff? Because I'm thinking right now, we could do this as an event here in Atlanta, or here in Atlanta and in Philadelphia.
I mean,
how long does it take me to learn how to build my own laptop?
Well, like I say, very rare I have to rebuild my laptop unless, say a motherboard goes out. Then I might want to get a whole new motherboard. But if it's not worth it, if it's not advantageous to buy the motherboard put in because the motherboard costs so much, I would just go and get another laptop. But, if you really want that laptop and you really want that motherboard, I mean, you can spring for it because you can always find parts out there on Amazon, all the other places. Now, how long does it take? I mean, the course is 70 hours, but if we ran a class every Saturday, 3 hours each Saturday, you could be building something within a month's time.
Bet.
Actually,
okay, so here's a challenge. I'm going to put you to a challenge because, as you know, everybody knew that I had a huge breakdown of my laptop last year, and this is the person who was helping me get through it. So I want to rebuild my Toshiba satellite. It's a big 17-inch Toshiba satellite that I've had for, ever. I have a new Asus, but it's not my Toshiba satellite. My Toshiba satellite was badass.
Okay.
So I want to take it. I want it to have all the little bells and whistles on it. I want to put the purple lights in it, hydraulic pumps and everything. So you said in the month.
And a desktop
time,
or a laptop? And a desktop?
Laptop.
And a desktop. Huh?
Laptop.
I never seen a laptop with hydraulics in it. I've never seen one with water.
I was joking when I said that. I was just joking.
Okay.
But I say that because I'm the person who every single year has to get some new device because I burn stuff up. I will use this stuff until it catches on fire, and I honestly mean that. My last laptop before my Toshiba satellite, the one before that one, I was using it, and it caught on fire in my lap, and it left a burn mark on my leg, and the fire ran from the motherboard into the cord that my external drive was using. It fried the external drive, and that was a total terabyte of data that I had is now gone.
Right, and the reason that happened is that, and I know you like the Toshibas, but Toshibas have a habit of running hot. I've seen one catch on fire. Yeah, they run hot all the time. So what I would do is I would
put a coolant. That was actually an HP G60. The one that that was
an HP G60. Well, another thing is people get all these laptops, and like with you do so much work. I would have two or three laptops because most people do. Like I had a guy that he was a video recording person that backed up all kinds of video stuff, all kinds of plays and documents. And his philosophy was, he was an editor. He let his computers run 365 days a year. He never turned them off. He had external hard drives. I never seen anybody. This guy, he was a home user. He had about 15 to 20 external drives, and he never turned them off. And I was like, listen, they're going to start dying because they're not meant to. Because remember, a computer is like a baby, and it's built like the human body, where the motherboard is the spine, and the computer needs to shut down and rest like people. But people don't think they're supposed to. They let them run, and then eventually, it's like the robots. People want to have these robots, and they think the robots are going to take over the world, but they still need somebody to program. They need somebody to run code. They need people to do it, and the youth don't want to learn it. I don't know what it is. They don't want to read. They don't want to learn it. You know, you think there's a lot of people in the United States that want to learn it.
Because it's boring. And I keep saying this. I've heard so many teenagers say they were bored with it because we have taken what should have been the most interesting technology platform for learning and made it the science fair all over again, and it's not fun. We have got to bring fun back to learning in this space and make it fun because it's not fun. So why move on from regular education and go into something else unless there's really, like, proof that I have the end result of something massive coming out of it? And what we're seeing now are all these kids going to college and they can't find jobs because they're not getting certifications. They're going through the program. They can't find jobs. Well, you got a certification. It means you know what you're doing. You are certified, stamped.
That's a whole other issue. That's a dibble and dab. Say you go to, God forbid, the old ITT Tech that went out of business. I remember a couple guys. I remember a couple guys that I knew that went to ITT Tech. And the best thing they could tell me when they got out of the program was, you know what, man, I know what I can do. I said, what can you do? I can refresh my monitor. I'm like, really? I'm like, well, what else can you do? Can you take a board apart? Can you fix the motherboard? I mean, I even go in the part where we take the hard drives apart, open them up, and take the platters off just to show you that we can do it, but you have to be in a lint-free area. But it can be done. And if you do data recovery, if you look where it is, it's like it's out in California. If you send a drive out there, it's $500 just for them to crack the drive open and look at it. And can we do it up here in Philadelphia or Atlanta? Sure. You don't have to send it away. You'll be surprised at what you can do. And one of the big things I like about IT, when you were in third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade, that's the last time you had hands-on action with anything. When you get on into the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth grade, you don't really have any hands-on. You might have it in some chemistry classes, maybe a couple of physics classes, but you don't get any hands-on how to have hand and eye coordination just doing certain things with the computer or robots or drones or soldering. They got away from all that. Well, see, but then look at that. You talking about going to Tech, but what happened from sixth grade to Georgia Tech time?
Right.
You don't have any experience.
All right.
Well, then what?
Adolphus, we got a couple more minutes left. I want to drive in on this one last statement, and then I want you to give your contact information. We're going to have Talisha Shine come on next week. She is the Sculpt Scribe from, man, she's awesome. Look, okay, you told me something about the gold that's inside of these laptops.
Okay.
Tell us about the gold, and then tell us where we can find out how to get enrolled in your class or where we can find you at.
Okay, with the laptops and desktops, there's the motherboard. On the motherboard, there's something similar to it called gold dust. And what they do, they have each has particles on a laptop and desktop motherboard that you can extract. And they have these special extractors that pulls off about, so I know the guy that has a electronic disposal company. So what he does, he grabs all the daggone motherboards he can get. He turns it into one guy. He extracts it off by the pounds. And he gets paid just for motherboards alone. He can make four, anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000 just dropping off motherboards and extracting all the components off of it with the gold. And there's money out there. There's a lot of money. If Kyra brings me back again, we can go in a deeper conversation about the gold, how to get it, what kind of places to turn the systems over to. My contact information, we're located in Philadelphia. We are on, and go slowly, it's on 4840 Old York Road, and it's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Our zip code is 19144, and a phone number that I can contact me is my cell, which is 215-740-5383. Again, 215-740-5383. You can leave a message there. Also, my email is ajohnson1911@gmail.com. ajohnson1911@gmail.com. You can send me emails. And I can get you, I can let you know when the programs are going to start. And we're looking to actually move around to different cities and get this program up and running, especially in the urban areas. The system wants a heavy presence, and they need urban the urban area to be involved. So I'm looking at children, and I'm looking at adults, and especially females.
That's all awesome, and it's going to be bananas. We will have you come back because we want to break that gold down. Look, I know Robin's back there. Tell us about the gold. But we're going to bring you back another time. Once we get a little bit deeper into what we're going to do collectively with Cisco and collaborating our spaces, we're going to bring you back in, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on, I guess, after April maybe. If that seems to be a good timeline. But I want to thank everybody out there for tuning in, and thank you, Adolphus Johnson, for being our guest from Cisco.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Hi, everybody. Have a good evening.
I'm Cairo Queen. This is Cairo Queen's Taste of Technology, where we make technology palatable for everyday people. We talk about everything from nanotech to blogging, as you can see. I went and started with Ben Carson, and we moved all the way out to gold. So, look, this is something we love doing, and we need your help. If you can be a supporter and you want to be a sponsor, call me. Call me directly. I'll give you my phone number. Who does that? 404-337-9546. Call me directly if you want to be a sponsor. If you want to have a part of our show and add an extra 30 minutes onto the show. You want to be on? You want to be on air? You want to talk about your stuff? You got a product? You got something you think you need to share? Call me. Let's talk about it. Anyway, I'm Cairo Queen. Thank you to Robin Howard. Thank you, WXRP Radio. Thank you to our matriarch. And I am so tired, I'm going to bed. Good night, y'all. See you next week.